We had a rather lengthy scripture reading today, considerably longer than we usually do, and I felt it was important for us to see this whole chapter here, chapter 23 in Matthew, that we might see the situation there with the Pharisees and with the scribes. Because as we have read, and you will no doubt recall that, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. The Pharisees were first-class hypocrites. They were good at preaching, but they were very poor at practicing. And we often say we must practice what we preach. But the Pharisees were good at preaching, but very poor at practicing. As we started the chapter, Jesus begins by saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they did you observe, that observe and do. In other words, they sit in Moses' seat. Moses was there as guiding the people of Israel. And the people would come to him for advice. They would come for him to judge the different issues that arose. And that's why Jethro, his father-in-law, said, hey, you're going to wear yourself out. You need some help. And so Jethro helped to set up some smaller groups of people that could look after some of the issues. But sitting in Moses' seat, you're in a position now of ruler there over the people. So the people then are told, whatsoever they bid you observe, well, that you are to observe, that you are to do, because we must obey the rulers. But then they go on to say, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So they were good at saying, they were good at preaching, but they were very poor at doing, at practicing. And that's why our Lord calls them hypocrites. Greek word hypocrites, I've mentioned before, and it's well to remember this again and to remind ourselves that the hypocrites, the hypocrite, in the old Greek was the actor in the Greek dramas. So if you're an actor in a drama, whether it be Shakespearean play or whether it be one of the Greek dramas, of course you pretend to be somebody that you are not in real life, because you're acting out whoever is the person that you are representing there. And so this was the idea there with the hypocrites. They were pretending to be something which they were not in real life. And so Jesus called the scribes and the Pharisees hypocrites because their words did not match their deeds. Now, as we look through this passage, we saw that phrase, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, a number of times. As a matter of fact, 8 times altogether, our Lord expresses woe. The Greek word is uai, uai. And it's an interjection, and it denotes either a pain or displeasure. You know, you might almost say, ouch, when we, say, burn ourselves or when we hurt. This is the kind of idea of the words that is there. So it is translated in English as a woe, or sometimes also as alas. And so this is the word that our users and Lord uses here to indicate the scribes and the Pharisees, woe unto you, alas. Think of that. You know, you have not really been doing very good. I'm displeased with you because of the problems there in your life. And in this chapter, our Lord calls the scribes and the Pharisees 7 times hypocrites. Twice he calls them blind guides. Would you want a guide, a tour guide, to be blind? You know, you go on a tour, as some of us did, of Greece and Turkey, visit all the Bible land sites, you know, or maybe you go to the Holy Land. Ah, we've got a very good guide this year. He's blind. Well, how is he going to tell you what the sites are and what's going on? All right. Well, Jesus called them blind guides. Twice he calls them fools and blind. And he also calls them serpents and generation of vipers. So ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. So he doesn't have much good to say about the scribes and the Pharisees, in particular because they were hypocrites. But I want to look with you at the eight woes that are mentioned here. So as we look at them, and two of them we put together in one point, so it makes up, in a sense, 7 points. But to look at these and to see in which way they were hypocritical. And then, of course, once we realize the problem with the scribes and Pharisees, that you and I may not be hypocrites. So the first woe is described in verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So what we see in the first woe there is that the scribes and the Pharisees actually opposed the progress of the gospel. They were against the gospel. Jesus says, ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. By shutting up the kingdom of heaven, they were saying, we don't want you to go into the kingdom of heaven. That's interesting, you know, when you talk about Jesus himself in John 1:11, we read that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So we know that was early in his ministry. Now we're towards the end of his ministry, and Jesus is pointing out there was actually people like the scribes and the Pharisees that were hindering people to come to Christ. You know, ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them, allow ye them, permit ye them that are entering to go in. So they did not go in themselves. So the Pharisees and the scribes themselves, they would not believe the gospel. They had rejected the gospel. They had rejected the Messiah. As I mentioned, John 1:11, he came into his own, but his own received him not. But, Jesus says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So there were some that believed on Jesus, that realized that he would die for their sins, that he would rise again from the dead, as it was prophesied in the Old Testament. But here, the scribes and the Pharisees, no, they have nothing to do with Jesus. They would not believe on him, and then in addition, they stopped other people from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's one thing if you don't believe yourself, but it's another thing, and certainly much worse, when you stop other people from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is certainly a great sin. And that's what the scribes and Pharisees were doing. And that's why Jesus calls them hypocrites. You know, here you are. You're supposed to be a religious leader, the scribes, the ones that copied the Word of God. And if you keep copying something off and enough, hopefully something will rub off. You know, that's why school teachers sometimes, I'm not sure if they still do that or not, but I remember in our days they used to do that. You know, write 100 times, I must not talk in class. I must not talk in class. I must not talk in class. Well, if you write it 100 times, the teacher hopes that by the time you got done, that you will remember not to talk in class. Well, I suppose that's cruel punishment these days, but they probably don't do that anymore. But you know, that's what's the case with the scribes. Copies the Word of God. So by the time of our Lord, the scribes had become the teachers of the Word of God, because they knew more about the Word of God really than other people. So they were religious leaders. Same with the Pharisees. Of course, we have the Sadducees as well. There's another group of religious leaders. I'm not going to go discussing the differences between them. But these were religious leaders. People looked up to them. You'd think they would encourage people to believe on the Messiah. that first of all, they would not themselves, and secondly, they hindered other people from believing on the Messiah. So Jesus calls them hypocrites for stopping, as religious leaders, stopping other people from coming to the Messiah. So that's the first woe in verse 13. And then the second woe, following up immediately after this, in verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. So this woe is directed against the covetousness and, we might say, the self-praise of the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, we're told they devour widows' houses. And then for a pretense, they make long prayers. So what you see is they imposed on the widows that were there. The widows, generally, we might say, weak, unprotected, no husband to protect them. Certainly this is today, you might say the situation could be different, but certainly in the time of our Lord, this was the case. If you read the book of Ruth, you see how Naomi was in that situation, you know, nobody to look after them. So here you have the widows at the time of our Lord, nobody to look after them. Acts chapter 6, you know, the widows were neglected in the daily ministration, and that caused a big issue. I'm not going to discuss that, but you can look at Acts chapter 6 and read that. But what you see is that the widows needed help. And here we have the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, that you would think would help these widows, but instead they would make use of them. So they pretended to be very spiritual. They prayed long prayers. And it said, for a pretense. So we know that was not genuine. But they were pretending to be very spiritual. And they would talk to these widows. And some of them were no doubt fairly well off financially. And so they would say, well, now you know, you must help the temple and its ministry. We know that your husband is gone and we feel sorry for you, but you know, you really must give generously to the work of the temple. We'll take it with us. And so that was the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees. That's why Jesus calls them hypocrites and sets the woe against them because of the scribes and Pharisees abusing their influence by getting money from these widows. So not a very good thing there, as you see. Well, let's go on to the third woe in verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. So here we see him talking about the scribes and Pharisees compassing sea and land, traveling in sea and land, traveling to make proselytes. Now, we would often say proselyte, well, that's a convert. It's a nice word, it's a good word, you know, maybe a word that is not used quite as often today. We'd probably use the word convert more often. But you'd say, well, here are the scribes and the Pharisees. Isn't this a good thing that they're doing? After all, they're doing everything they can. They're traveling here, they're traveling there, by sea, by land, you know, to make proselytes, to make converts. The only problem with that is that, as our Lord points out, they were not making converts to the cause of Christ, but they're making converts to the cause of the scribes and the Pharisees. That's what they were doing. So they were making converts for their party, the Pharisees' party. And their religious zeal arose from sectarianism, not from the love of God. So what they wanted is, they want more Pharisees, more Pharisees. Don't become a Sadducee. You'll be sad, you see, if you do that. But we want you to be a Pharisee. So come and join our group. Come and join our party. That's what they were trying to do. And so that's why Jesus calls them hypocrites. Because instead of being concerned about the love of God and being motivated by the love of God, but the love of God constrains me, said the Apostle Paul. But that was not the case with the scribes and the Pharisees. They were only interested in getting more Pharisees in their party. So again, our Lord pronounces his woe upon them. Well, the fourth one is seen in verse 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. And then he goes on. This is the first, of course, we read the woe, but then he goes on. Ye fools and blind. For whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever swears by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind. For whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? So whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, swear by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, swear by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, swear by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. So this is the whole passage then where our Lord goes on to explain this further. And our Lord pronounces this woe because of the scribes and Pharisees' attitude towards oaths. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees drew distinctions between different kinds of oaths. They thought that some oaths were binding, but other oaths were not binding. So this oath you got to keep, but that oath, that's not really necessary if you keep it. So they attached greater importance to oaths that were sworn by the gold that was offered to the temple. But you know, if there was an oath sworn to the temple itself, well, that was not very important. So you see that wrong concept again. And that was the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees. You see that consistently throughout the four Gospels. So what is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Obviously, the temple is greater. But they said, the temple, don't worry, just the gold. I guess they like gold better than God. So that was the problem. So, you know, whosoever shall swear by the temple, well, that's nothing. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, well, that is an oath that you better keep. So they had a real problem there. And in a sense, this affected the third of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Alright, first commandment, worship the true God. Second commandment, worship the true God in the right way. Third commandment, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But here, we're talking about God's name. They were swearing, using God's name to swear. But they were saying, if it's by the temple, never mind, you don't have to keep it. They do by the gold. Oh, you better make sure you keep it. So that's the hypocrisy of them. Well, in this case, Jesus doesn't use the word hypocrites. He just calls them blind guides, fools, and blind. All right? So, again, what they were doing, they were advancing their own interests rather than the cause of God. They wanted that gold. So they were advancing their own interests. Well, Let's go on to the fifth one, and that's seen in verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So this woe is directed against the practice of the scribes and the Pharisees to exalt trifles in religion above serious things. You know, you look at that. They put first things last and last things first. They reverse things. They paid tithe of mint and anise and cumin, so they made a great ado about tithing the mint and other garden herbs that were growing. But when it came to the weightier matters of the law, when it came to the great Christian duties, well, they were ignoring those. Judgment, or we would probably say justice. It's not a question that they were sitting in judgment, but that justice be done, and mercy, and faith. Now, what is more important, you know, tithing mint, anise, and cumin, or justice, mercy, and faith? I think it's pretty obvious that the justice, the mercy, and faith, these are the things that Christians should show forth in their life. But that was not the Pharisees. You know, somebody says they majored on the minors. You know, the little things. Oh, you know, you grow a little bit of mint. Nice, like mint tea. I'm not sure if they drank mint tea back then or not, you know. But they would say, oh, we got 10 leaves. Oh, must give one to God. So they were concerned about that. But when it comes to the weightier matters of the law, the really important things in dealing with other people, justice, mercy, truth, faith, they were not worried about those things. They neglected those things. No wonder our Lord calls them hypocrites and pronounces a woe upon them. Well, let's go on to the sixth and the seventh. And I'm putting these two together. Sixth is seen in verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. And then 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. The reason for putting them together is that these two are quite similar in their, in their, what they do there. Because what they do is they look at an outward purity and decency above inward sanctification and purity of heart. So this is what the scribes and the Pharisees were concerned. What was on the outside, not what was on the inside. You know, and I can imagine, you know, going to the kitchen sink and you take your cup and you just wash the outside, because that's all people see. You know, and then you say, oh, I've washed my cup. And so you have another cup of tea or another cup of coffee, probably get the two mixed up in there, doesn't matter, you drink it, and again you wash the outside of the cup. You know, after a while you look at it and says, look at this beautiful cup, till you look inside. I've tempted to bring a cup like that here, you know, but I did. So, you don't do that, do you? You don't wash only the outside. You wash the inside as well as the outside. But that was the problem with the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, they were washing the outside, but not the inside. He may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter. And in a sense, Jesus says, now, you go to the cemetery, you have all these, you know, sepulchres that are there, and you take some lime and you whitewash them, and they look beautiful on the outside. wow, have to put your sunnies on, you know, because it's so bright when the sun shines on them. But he says, inside, they're full of dead man's bones. So the difference between the outside and the inside, and that's why we're putting these together. So the scribes and the Pharisees made it a religious duty to cleanse the outside of their cups and platters, but they neglected their own inward man. So they were like whitened sepulchers, clean, beautiful on the outside, but within full of corruption. No wonder that Jesus says, you know, in verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And that's well said. You know, they were only concerned about the outside of the cups and of the tombs, you know, the tombs. But Jesus says, the inside is pretty bad. So, outwardly, the scribes and Pharisees appeared righteous unto men. Saw that earlier already. For priests, they make long prayers. Oh, you know, you see that. And Jesus tells them, they love to pray standing on the street corners to be seen by men. Oh, look at that Pharisee. Look at how holy he is. He's standing there and he's praying, you know. But Jesus said, that's not it. Not the outward appearance. It's the inward relationship that we need to have with God. So, again, that row there, 6 and 7. Well, there's one more. The 8th and the last row in verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. And then it goes on from there. But the last woe is directed against the affected veneration of these scribes and Pharisees for the memory of dead saints. So, what did they do? They built tombs of the prophets. You know? Because ye build the tombs of the prophets and you garnish or you adorn the sepulchres of the righteous. Oh yes, we got to think about these prophets in the past. You know, they were so wonderful. These righteous people, these believers, you know, we think of them. Oh, we might think of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know, might think of King David, might think of Solomon. You know, we think of these great saints of old. You know, we got to have their tombs. We have to have their sepulchres. But, you know, the conduct of the scribes and Pharisees showed that they liked the dead saints better than living ones. You know, they liked the dead saints better than the living ones. And that's the problem. They pretended to honor dead prophets, but they should see no beauty in the living Christ. The dead prophets? Oh yes, we'll honor them. Oh, we'll have the tomb here, we have the tomb there. And if you go to the Holy Land today, you can find, oh, there's this tomb, there's that tomb, you know, there's Absalom's tomb, there's Rachel's tomb, and you can go there and, oh yes, this is where Rachel was. But what about the relationship with Christ? Because that is the important thing. An interesting comment that was made by J.C. Ryle, and he refers to the Berlinberger Bible. Now, I have never heard of the Berlinberger Bible before. And I tried to go to my search engine and Google it and find out Berlinberger Bible. And they said, quoted by J.C. Ryle. So, in other words, it wasn't very much of a help to find out what the Berlinberger Bible is. There is a town in Germany called Berlinburg. I was able to find that much out. And maybe it was a Bible published in Berlinburg. I really don't know. So I may have to spend more time trying to find out. But Google couldn't find it, and Safari couldn't find it either. Well, maybe somebody can find it. But anyway, here is the comment that was in that Berlinberger Bible. Very interesting. And I quote, "Ask in Moses' times, who were the good people? They will be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but not Moses. He should be stoned. Ask in Samuel's times, who were the good people? They will be Moses and Joshua, but not Samuel. Ask in the time of Christ, who were such? They will all be all the former prophets with Samuel, but not Christ and his apostles." Now Jesus himself said a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And that's what you see. At the time of Moses, everybody before was good, but Moses was not. In the time of Samuel, everybody before was good, but not Samuel. In the time of Christ, everybody was good, but not Christ. That's what the Berlinberger Bible quote is saying. Well, we have the problem with this Christ and the Pharisees and their hypocrisy. There was once a man who made free use of Christian vocabulary. He talked about the blessings of the Almighty. He talked about the Christian confessions, which would become the pillars of his new government. He handed out pious stories to the press, especially to the church papers. He showed his tattered Bible and declared that he drew the strength for his great work from it. As scores of pious people welcomed him as a man sent from God. Do you know the man that I'm describing? Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler. Interesting, isn't it? Outwardly, he was very religious. But there was no inward reality. And so it was with the scribes and the Pharisees of old. But what about us? You and me. Jesus pronounced woes on the scribes and Pharisees because their religion was all outward. They never truly knew God, nor allowed him to enter into their hearts. What about us? We need to know God more intimately and allow him to do a good work in us and to work through us to lead others to him. Because remember, we are laborers together with God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have seen the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees, help us to examine our own hearts, our own lives. Is our religion just simply outward? Or do we have a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we know him personally, intimately? Do we allow him to work in us and through us so that others may come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, help us to examine our own lives. May we not be hypocrites, but may we be true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
going to hymn 325.